Our scripture reading today is from Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6. In this reading, Paul reminds us that we are all part of one body. And Paul writes, I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. The gospel reading today is from John 17, verses 17 through 23. In this reading, Jesus is praying for the community's oneness and witness. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen. Please be
Do you like watching sports games? If you hate, raise your hand. Oh, okay, that's fine. I understand, no problem. It's your choice. If you do, I'm sure you must be very excited about it. Recent two major sports events. First, the Milano Cortina 2026 Winter Olympic Games have officially started last Friday with the opening ceremony in Italy. There will be 3,500 athletes representing over 92 countries. The Winter Games will continue through Sunday, February 22nd. Oh, Team USA! Second, yes, today is Super Bowl 60, Sunday. The game will be at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, California, home site of the San Francisco's 49ers at 3:30 p.m. It's 3:30, so relax. You will have plenty of time today to get ready. So, go Seattle Seahawks. Go New England Patriots. May the best team win, right? Yeah. You know, even though I'm not a fan of American football, I'm sorry, but I love watching football once a year. Today is the day. I always enjoy watching all those super expensive and super interesting commercials during the Super Bowl games. Speaking of commercials, there are interesting slogans or catchphrases for brand names in business. So, this morning, let's do a little name that company game. Can we do that? Yeah, when I say a slogan, you can say that company's name, okay? Ready? Save money, live better. Walmart, yes. That's right. The happiest place on earth. Oh, yeah. Of course, Disneyland, yes. Just do it. Oh, yeah, Nike, yes. How about this? Open happiness. Okay. Well, it's Coca-Cola, of course. Okay, how about this one? I'm loving it. Yes, McDonald's, right? And this one, keep going and going and going. Energizer, yeah, very good. That was easy, right? Yeah. Here's the last one. Make every second count. Probably if you're a younger generation, you know this. It's TikTok. I don't use TikTok, even though it is known as one of the most popular social media platforms in the world. However, this TikTok slogan seems to be extra intriguing to me. Every second count means each moment is important and should be used effectively and wisely, emphasizing urgency. Yes, this slogan invites everyone to find meaning and to make the most of life's opportunities. Why? Because life is short. Life is too short to waste a second. That's why life is so precious and so priceless. There's also a popular saying, life is short. Have perspectives. This means to have a big picture in life. Have global and wider views with open hearts and open minds. So this should be a lifelong slogan for all of us as long as we are on our life journey together. Whether you are still active, working, or retired, everyone seems to be always busy these days. You know, being busy is good, whether you are young or old. Being active helps you to avoid insanity and to be healthy. Yeah. However, ironically, in some sense, we might find ourselves too busy to enjoy living. It is extremely important for you to stop and pause sometimes and to ponder upon the meaning and purpose of your life. That's why contemplating and reflecting the three simple questions in life is so crucial and so essential. These three simple questions are too important to pass or ignore. So far, we have shared, number one, who is God? Number two, who am I? And finally, this morning, the final question, number three, who are we together? Truly, who are we together? Knowing God and knowing who I am are both important, but these two alone are not enough because we are living in this society with many other people together. So knowing who we are together is so crucial in terms of which community you belong to. Now, let me share with you three insights on this topic this morning. I'm going to share with you the first insight today and then the other two next Sunday. So that means you have to come back. Number one, we are God's family together. God created us, sustains us, and loves us all. God is our Heavenly Father of everyone around the world. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created humankind in His image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them." Yes, God created humankind in His image. Next sentence is extremely important. In the image of God, He created them. Yes, let us pay attention to the image of God. I'm not sure you are familiar with this theological term, but image of God is imago Dei in Latin that we must always remember. Can we all say imago Dei together? Perfect. Awesome. Imago Dei is a theological concept originating in this Genesis 1:27 stating humans are created in God's image. This doctrine implies that all people possess inherent dignity, worth, purpose, and sacredness, giving them unique qualities like reason, morality, and the capacity for relationships. This concept establishes a foundational understanding of human nature, granting all humans intrinsic value beyond their personal qualities or achievement, and affirming their divine representation. So, because every single person is created in the image of God, he or she is a divine being who should be treated equally, fairly, and lovingly, always and forever. We must remember that God created not just Christians only, or not just the certain religious people only. No, no, no. God created all humankind in His image. Yes, God created all people, no matter who they are, how they look, and what they believe. In this sense, whoever you are, wherever you have come from, however your status or situation is, you are a beloved child of God who is created in the image of God. You are carrying God's image always. Remember the words, imago Dei. I believe that the Bible is a story of migrations and immigrations of God's people on this earth. Yes, we all are on a human journey together. Migration is the general, often temporary movement of people or animals from one place to another, while immigration specifically refers to the permanent, intentional, and legal movement of people into a new country to settle there. So, migration is a broad term, including both internal and international movement, whereas immigration focuses solely on foreign entry. Today, in our United States context, whenever we are mentioning the word immigrant, people tend to think that the term generally refers to a Hispanic, Arabic, or Asian Pacific Islanders, or simply someone who is not a Caucasian. As a matter of fact, when the America was founded, it was 250 years ago, right? It was the country of immigrants. mainly from England and other European countries. You all know that all the 102 passengers, the pilgrims, on the Mayflower ship who established Plymouth colony in 1620 were people from all, everybody was from England. According to history, their status was considered to be economic migrants, religious refugees, and immigrants slash settlers. As all three categories applied to those pilgrims. Then during the 17th century, with the Spanish in Florida, Dutch in New York, and Swedes in Delaware, major consistent migration waves from diverse European nations, Germany, Ireland, Scandinavia, Italy, grew rapidly between the 1820s and 1920s. During this period, the Statue of Liberty was dedicated in 1886 by President Grover Cleveland. It was a special gift from France to the U.S. to celebrate the friendship between the two nations and the centennial of the American Declaration of Independence. And it became a symbol of hope for refugees and immigrants seeking freedom in America. However, between 1920s and 1960s, immigration paused. Especially immigration was low during the Depression of the 1930s. Then immigration rose after World War II ended as veterans returned with European spouses. Since then, more and more immigrants steadily came to the United States from all over the world. See, this nation's founding ancestors were all immigrants indeed. I'm sure all your ancestors were also 100% immigrant, unless you are the offspring of those Native Americans, also known as indigenous peoples, who had been already living in this land before the USA was founded. You know, the Bible already clearly states on immigrants. And one of the significant verses, Exodus 22:21, says, "Don't mistreat or oppress an immigrant, because you were once immigrants in the land of Egypt." This morning we sang the African American spiritual "Go Down Moses" as our opening hymn together. Those enslaved African Americans identified themselves as those oppressed Hebrews who had experienced a forced migration and slavery for how many years? 430 years in Egypt. Those African Americans here in the U.S. land also had to suffer and endure 246 years of slavery. That was a long time of darkest chapters of U.S. history. Sadly, so many people and leaders had forgotten and neglected that all people were created in the image of God, Imago Dei. We all are God's family together. Many people around the world may look different, speak differently, and act differently, We are living in a world of diversity. But unfortunately, people tend to be against other people who have different color or culture, different opinions or views, or many other differences in various ways. We struggle, yet we reconcile. At least we try reconciling. We are different, yet at least we try to be open and understanding. As we are observing February as Black History Month, and along with the current immigration and raid attack act cases, one of the main concerns we all witness is racial profiling. Racial profiling is a discriminatory practice by law enforcement of targeting individuals for suspicion of crime based on race, ethnicity, religion, or national origin rather than on individual behavior. Do you remember the 1991 beating of Black man Rodney King? If Rodney King were white, everything would have been different. If so, definitely there would have been no LA riot, according to many social and academic studies. Yes, the beating of Rodney King was widely considered a case of racial profiling and excessive force against a Black man deeply rooted in a culture of systemic racism with the LAPD. Last year, I attended a community meeting at Riverside Police Department on Magnolia Avenue. It was called Clergy Police Partnership Meeting, hosted by Riverside Police Department's chaplains. There were about 50 people gathered. Most of them were Christian pastors. And I know there was a Jewish rabbi and also a Muslim imam among the attendees. Here is a photo of Imam Mahmoud Hamoush and me. Imam Hamoush is the director of Islamic Center of Riverside. Anyhow, Police Chief Larry Gonzalez was there to answer any questions from the clergy members. At that time, a few questions and answers were exchanged. I raised my hand asking, "Chief Gonzalez, we all remember that the LA riot initially began from the LAPD's racial profiling practice. And recently, those federal ICE agents have been using racial profiling as one of their main tactics. Do Riverside police officers also use racial profiling? Riverside PD officers work with the ICE agent for immigration raid?" He simply said, "No, never. Racial profiling is not our policy or our tactic." Then he also added, "We, Riverside PD, would not support or cooperate with any federal ICE agents in any immigration raids." All the clergy members at that meeting, including myself, were relieved to hear that from the police chief. Yes, again, racial profiling is primarily caused by implicit biases, ingrained stereotypes, and systemic issues that associate specific racial or ethnic groups with criminality. This evil system is deeply rooted on racism, white supremacy, and xenophobia. As you know, the United Methodist Book of Discipline is our denomination's primary governing document and guidebook that includes the church law, which is the constitution of the UMC. Quote, our United Methodist Church's Book of Discipline clearly states racial justice in Article 5. Quote, the United Methodist Church proclaims that from God's goodness and love, God created all persons as God's unique and beloved children. Racism opposes God's law, goodness, and love, and diminishes the image of God in every person. Fueled by white privilege, white supremacy, and colonialism, the sin of racism has been a destructive scourge on global society and throughout the history of the United Methodist Church. It continues to destroy our communities, harm persons, obstruct unity, and undermine God's work in this world. Racism must be eradicated. Therefore, the United Methodist Church commits to confronting and eliminating all forms of racism, racial inequity, colonialism, white privilege, and white supremacy in every facet of its life and in society at large. Unquote. My friends in Christ, this racial justice is a mandate to our discipleship and faith journey together in pursuing peace and justice in our society. When you believe in God who created everyone on this earth and loves everyone unconditionally, how can you treat anyone who is a beloved child of God also differently? After all, we all are God's family together. We must realize that we all belong to one race, one human race, even though we all look different and speak differently. In many cases, in many senses, being different is a beautiful thing designed by God. We must realize that we all came from the same Creator, the God of the universe and the God of the earth. Yes, we must realize that we belong to the same family of God. Amen? All people on this earth are indeed one family. So, to turn away from any of God's children is to turn away from God, from God, who resides within, sustains, and loves each one beyond our comprehension, just as God loves us. This morning's Gospel of John is also crucial for us to understand how important it is to be God's family together. John chapter 17 is often called high priestly prayer. This prayer is intensely important as it reveals the heart of Jesus, his mission, and his direct intercession for all believers just before his crucifixion. If this is the last prayer of Jesus on the earth, this must be ultimately and supremely important. It serves as a summation of his earthly ministry, focusing on glorifying the Father, protecting his disciples, and urging unity among future generations. Yes, in this fervent prayer of Jesus, especially in this passage this morning, Jesus asked for oneness for everyone, especially those who believe in God and Jesus. Verses 20 and 21, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their word, that they may be all be one. And continues, verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given them so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be become, they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. My sisters and brothers in Christ, who are we together? We are one in Christ. We are inclusive and loving family. We are God's family together. To be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.